Amen. Please take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. It is always good to recognize God's word and how it affects us and shapes us and calls us to be a faithful people of God. I think I'll give you a quick introduction. Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy is a young pastor at the church of Ephesus. Paul is giving him instructions and doctrine throughout the book about how to handle certain matters. And one of those is how to honor those aged ladies that have lived a faithful life. And so as you read this, recognize there's some things that are pronounced that we must look at and follow. So let me read to you. I'm going to read a couple of verses. One, I'm going to read verse 3 and then jump to verse 9 and 10. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3 says, honor widows that are widows indeed. Verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken to the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported for good works, if she had brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Hey, let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Thank you, Lord, for those godly women that have truly impacted our lives. And Lord, today as we look at some of the aspects of a godly woman, help us to recognize it's a hard job. And it's a job that not only the ladies should take, but we all should strive to be godly. And so Lord, today just make them feel thankful and welcome and corrected and convicted and supported and encouraged. Help them, Lord, just to live a life that would honor you at all times. And help them recognize the reward is great, not just for their children, but in the times to come. So, Lord, today we are thankful, and we say thank you for all that you're going to do. Thank you, Lord, again, for that promise that when your word is read, it'll not come back void. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, I found men and women are a little bit different. I think I've shared this story before when Jesse and Justin had their twins one night when they were probably 4 or 5 months old, that Jesse reached over there and found that Justin was not in the bed, and so she kind of panicked and looked up, and there she saw Justin looking into the baby crib, and you could just tell in his face amazement and wonder and awe and some skepticism and some doubt. And so she eased up behind him, put her arms around him, and said, a penny for your thoughts. And he said, can you believe they can make a hardwood crib like this and only sell it for $45? I'm telling you, men are women are different. And the Bible speaks about that in one sense. But I'm telling you, we're all called to be faithful. And when you read this passage in the book of 1 Timothy, we'll recognize there's some faithful things that a woman should be doing. And I don't want to just say for the woman, but for us in general, if we'll follow these, God will count us as faithful people, and there will be a great blessing. Notice the first thing, we're going to find this key word that she is faithful. She is faithful in her relationship to her husband. She is faithful in her relationship to her husband. The greatest earthly bond is that of a husband and wife. The Bible speaks about that the two shall become one. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we find that same thing, that the two will be one flesh. And so we find first that she is faithful to her husband. She is faithful to her husband. You could say faithful to her spouse if you're speaking about men and women, that we should be faithful to each other. It says there in verse 9, at the end of that verse, says, having been the wife of one man. There's no need to state the obvious, but I'm going to do that. We're living in a time where spousal unfaithfulness is running rampant. We state our vows. We say for better or for worse. We say we're going to do this and that. And what happens when worse comes along, then we start looking for better in someone else. Shame on us. We recognize our faithfulness is tied because we are faithful to the Lord. If you read verse 5, it speaks about this. Now she that is a widow indeed is desolate and trusteth in God. So let me say this clearly. You cannot be faithful to God and unfaithful to your spouse. Know this, though. You cannot change your past, but you can change your future directions. Today is a new day to be faithful. Again, it says, having been the wife of one man. And that picture is a one-man kind of woman. She has eyes only for her husband. She has a heart only for her husband. She has a desire only for her husband. The proverb writer says in chapter 31, verse 11, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. She is faithful to her husband. But not only that, she is friendly to her husband. She is friendly to her husband. Now, Paul writing Titus on a similar subject in the book of Titus, says this in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Now, that may seem kind of odd, but if you go back to the Greek, it's not speaking about love as far as eros, that romantic love, or it's not even this idea of agape love or unconditional love. But the word there in Titus is philandros. It means to be friendly and affectionate. I've heard this over and over again in my ministry. I love him, but I cannot stand him. Anybody been there? Well, I think that's what the proverb writer meant when he was reading Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And so we find sometimes there's difficulties. Matter of fact, I like what somebody said. All women are born as angels until they had their wings broke by their husbands, and then they ride their broomsticks. Amen. Let me say this. Ladies, your biggest job, or I shouldn't say this, your one of the biggest jobs you have is to encourage and support your husband, to almost be like that cheerleader, to push him on, to be friendly and affectionate, to be his friend. Husbands, let me say the same thing about you. Give me a word of advice. The Bible describes that you should be the same way. Matter of fact, it goes beyond just being friendly. It says this in Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There is a sacrifice that the husbands do. They lay down their lives. They make it easier for the wives to be friendly to them. And so we should do those things. So make it a point to love your spouse and to be faithful. Focus on your spouse that the Lord has given to you. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Be all in on your relationship. Honor your spouse, and in doing so, honor the Lord. Yes, she is faithful to her relationship, to her husband, but secondly, she is faithful in the raising of children, in the raising of children. Verse 10 of chapter 5 says, well reported for good works if she have brought up children. That word brought up doesn't speak about giving birth to, but raising up children. It's two words there. One, it means to nourish the little ones. And that's the idea that God has caused us to raise up these little children. The very first command of the Bible was not to do this or do that, but to be fruitful and multiply, to raise up children. And the Lord desires that we do that, that we lift them up and encourage them, that we cause them to hear the word and focus on those things that are good. Let me quickly say, you may be here and not a biological mother. That's okay. Recognize that God has called us all to nurture those little children. 3 John chapter 1, verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so let me tell you some things about this godly woman. One, she is to be a developer of children, a developer of children. The proverb writer says in chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up that child. And so this mother, this spouse, this parent should develop them. How? Develop them morally. Teach them right or wrong. Every mother's called to be a homeschooler. Now listen to me carefully. Don't say don't go to a public school. I'm not saying that. But your job is to teach your children. Your job is to encourage them. Your job is to teach them right or wrong. They will be taught some good things at public school. That is great. But your job is to teach them right or wrong. You will make a bigger difference in their lives than any public school teacher will. How many of you school teachers have heard this? You ain't my mama. You can't tell me what to do. I know you have. Parents, they need to see you live out your life, live out your faith. They need to see you live moral lives. They need to see you do the right things at the right time. They need to see the example. They need for you to train them morally. Secondly, they need to see a development emotionally. Somebody said a good word here. A mother's not someone to lean on, but someone who makes leaning unnecessary. How good that is. We need to develop our children emotionally. We need to teach them and help them to be self-confident, but not in themselves, but in the Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? One of our failings in our society today, we've brought these children up to be self-confident, only to realize that self-confidence themselves cannot overcome all things. They need something greater. We must teach them and train them that they need Christ Jesus. Our greatest confidence is when we understand that God is working things out for good. But it doesn't stop there. Not just emotionally and spiritually, or those other ways, but in spiritual matters too. We must teach them about the Lord and His forgiveness, how to have a relationship with the Creator. Yes, we teach them sometimes to hunt and to fish, to play ball, to dance, or whatever. But if we fail to teach them about the Lord, we have failed. For the believer, God will judge one day with what we were given. And our greatest gift are our children. And so we should bring to our families, to our children, the goodness of God and teach them those godly principles that will change their lives. She is to be a developer. Secondly, she is to be a discipliner. Spare the rod, spoil the child, Ben Franklin said. And have you figured out that not every kid was born with a great disposition? I like the story about the lady that had the two children. And I'm telling you, they were bad, bad, bad. And somebody was watching them when they were in a public setting, and you could just tell the mother was just like, she was exasperated. And somebody said, well, if you had a chance, would you have children again? She said, I sure would, but not with these two. Amen. Sometimes children need correction. The Proverbs writer says in 29:15, the rod of reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother shame. I often kid my mother had a religious switch that said, I need thee every hour. That was for my brother, not for me. Amen. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spares the rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. And in Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten your son while there is hope, and let not spare for his crying. And so we must be consistent in the matter of discipline, recognizing that we all need that, and especially when we're young. Lastly, she's to be a deliverer. She is to be a deliverer. She takes care of her children. She takes care of those and protects them from danger. We like the sign I've seen some people wear, I'm a mama bear, and I understand that. But the mama bear in the society that we live in is not doing right. We need mama bears today not to protect their kids from punishment, but to walk with them through the punishing times, to be there for them, to recognize what they need, whether it's at school or other places. So let me ask you, are you raising your children in the Lord? Are you setting right examples? Are you developing them spiritually? The Lord has called you up to raise children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Here's the third point. Faithful, not just in relationship to her husband and raising children, but in receiving others into her house. It's called hospitality. Verse 10 says, if she have lodged strangers. We're reminded in Romans 12:13 that we should be given to hospitality. Hospitality or lodging strangers is given to the unfamiliar. The Old Testament was full of examples of righteous people bringing in the prophets and lodging strangers, both of Elijah and Elisha, both were hosted by others. And so let me quickly say, one, it builds relationships. It builds relationships. It is a good thing when you're willing to invite others into your house and spend time with them, you and your family. There's a friendship and a kinship developed when you invite others into your home. We need that in the church today to keep and build relationships. But secondly, it rescues the less fortunate. And really probably what this speaks about in those days, when there were orphans that were turned out for whatever reason into the streets, they had to fend for themselves. They usually had no place to go. They either wound up as slaves or as prostitutes or something else, unless somebody provided a way for them. And so there's the open door, lodging strangers. I can remember my own parents taking in somebody that had basically run away from house and talked to his parents and said, hey, he can stay here if that's okay for as long as he needs to. He gets these things worked out. For a couple of months, Kenny stayed in our house until he was old enough and went on and did his own thing. Let me say, there's a reward for doing these things. Hebrews 13:2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And then in Matthew 25, basically all these things of entertaining others and helping others, Jesus said, you've done it to the least of these, you have done it unto me. Here's the fourth thing I want you to see. Not only faithful in relationships and raising of children and receiving with others, but in a readiness to serve the church in any capacity. In the readiness to serve the church in any capacity. Again, verse 10 says, if she have washed the saints' feet. Now, we recognize what this means maybe today. I know there's some denominations that have a foot-washing ceremony. I'm not knocking that. That's a good thing, I'm sure. But in the context in those days, people usually walked everywhere they went. And so when they entered someone's house, it was customary for somebody to wash their feet, to wipe off the dust, to refresh them from the dusty and muddy roads. And so foot washing was this idea of humbling yourself in one sense to help others. And so it is really today about this idea of service, being willing to show humility to serve others. Our service shows our humility. Let me read to you out of the book of John. John 13 says this, verse 12. So after he'd washed their feet, this is the picture of Jesus now, after he'd washed their feet and taken his garment and was set down, he said to them, "Know what I've done to you. You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I've given you an example that you should do as I have done in you. Verily I say unto you, that the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that has sent him." And so the idea of Jesus willing to humble himself to show that he was willing to do anything for them is that example for us. There is no job too small in the church today for a godly woman or man to do. I think about all the much-needed things you may not think is very important, but is. I think about our cooking teams, our cleaning teams, our children's department, baptismal teams, the mopping and washing and the sign changing. There's the teaching ministries. There's visiting. There's praying. There's all these things that we do that sometimes you may not think is important, but is a great importance. And so when we humble ourselves and we do those things, how good that is. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Humble yourselves today. Be willing to serve as Christ served us. Our service shows our humility. But secondly, service honors the Lord. It's kind of neat to recognize that when we do those things, it shows a change of heart. When you begin to read about the woman at the well, or the woman that came in and broke the alabaster jar on Jesus' feet, and she wept and washed his feet with her hair and her tears. And in Luke chapter 7, you find that story, which is great. But at the end of that story, he says this, and he said to her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And when they that sat at meat said to him, "Why say with themselves, who is he that forgives sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee, go in peace." Now you may not understand the setting, but when you go back to the gospel parallel, that is right. And you put it in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus had just condemned Sodom and Gomorrah. He has just given basically a gospel presentation. And he said, "Come in all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest." Most scholars believe that woman heard the message of Christ and the forgiveness of sins, had a change of heart, finds Jesus, and the only way she knows how to serve him is to go and weep on his feet, wipe his feet with her hair, break the jar of perfume, and anoint him. And then he saw those things that she did and said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you." And so today, when we recognize, when we do those things that God has called us to do, it shows our heart, like the book of James says, that our faith is shown by our works, and it honors God. The godly woman or man that is ready to serve, not for recognition, but the simple doing of God's pleasure and God's will, man, how good that is. So let me ask you, are you serving the Lord in some capacity? Are you willing to do whatever it takes, because it will surely honor the Lord? Well, let me move on. Here's the fifth thing. Not just in relationships and raising her children and receiving others in their home and a readiness to serve the church in any capacity, but she is faithful in relieving of the afflicted, in relieving of the afflicted. Verse 10 again, if she has relieved the afflicted. That word relieved there is epartos. It means to soothe or to take care of, to pick up a burden, or even bring a military campaign to overthrow the enemy there. And so we are to relieve those around us. And it starts with a recognition of the afflicted, a recognition of the afflicted. Now, the word afflicted is thalibo in the Greek there, and it's neat to see how it's used in different places, because I think this is important. That this the afflicted is seen in different ways. Matthew chapter 7, here's how the word is used. Because straight is the gate and narrow, that's the word, is the way. And so sometimes we see people in a tight spot. We see people that is constricted or kind of brought in. It's also used in Matthew 13:21 in a little different way. It says this, ye have not the root in itself, but endured for a while. For when tribulation, there's the word, or persecution arise, because of the word, and by and by is he offended. And so Matthew uses it as being in tribulation or persecution. So sometimes we see people that have all these problems that are being overwhelmed with great issues in life. It may be medical, it may be marital, it may be these things. And it's like, man, they are in distress. And then we find it used a different way in Mark chapter 3, verse 9. And he spoke to his disciples, and that small ship should wait on him because of the multitudes, lest they should throne him. So the word there is used to be overwhelmed with the crowd. And so we need to look at people and see where they are in their life, whether they're in a tight spot or they're being persecuted or they're just overwhelmed in life. We should recognize them so we can help them. I am so thankful for people that recognize those that need compassion. I'm just going to admit to you, sometimes I'm not as I should be. Sometimes I don't recognize those that are having trouble. Sometimes I don't see the need. Sometimes I'm just hard-hearted, I guess, at sometimes. But I'm thankful for people around me that point out the need and say, hey, we need to help them. We need to help her. We need to help those people over there. And then once the thing is seen, we can all come together and help. How good it is when we recognize those who are in need. But it can't stop with just this recognition. Not only must there be a recognition, but there must be a reaching out to the afflicted. We must do more than just words or have more than just good intentions. Again, James says this, verse 15 of chapter 2. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one say to you, depart in peace, and be ye warned and filled, notwithstanding, and give them not those things which are needful, what does it profit? And so we recognize if we see a need and don't meet it, it's not done them any good. We recognize that God wants us to help them. And so I'm thankful for the church that's done that today. We have backpack projects that we send to those that need food on the weekends from school. We have meals to the infirm. We have meals for the homebound, meals to new mothers. We have a compassionate group of people that visit the hospital and the homebound and do all these different things. We're ramp projects. And so we need people that will recognize and relieve the afflicted. So I wonder today, will you ask yourself, are you looking for those in need? Are you willing to help them? The Bible clearly reminds us we should relieve the afflicted. Well, here's the last one. Not just in relationships and raising and receiving and readiness and relieving, but in the recognition of others. Verse 10 says this, well reported of for good works. And then at the end of the verse says, follow every good work. And so that word well-reported is the idea of martyreo. It means to have a testimony. And so this faithful woman is to be reported for doing good. She has a testimony of living for the Lord, living to do those things that are right. She was known for her good works. I'm reminded of Proverbs 31, and many of you like that, many of you don't. But there's action in chapter 31. It says this. I'm just going to name some action words. And Proverbs 31, verse 12 says, she will do good. Verse 13 says, she seeks. Verse 15, she rises. Verse 16, she considers. Verse 17, she girdeth. Verse 18, she perceives. Verse 19, she lays her hand to the spindle. Verse 20, she stretches out her hand to the poor. Verse 22, she makes. Verse 26, she speaks wisdom. Verse 27, she looks after her household. All these things she does. You say, that takes a lot of effort and energy. It does. But notice the results. One, she will be recognized by her children. Proverbs 31:28 says this, her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Godly mothers have always been supported and thanked by their children because of those things. Truly, you're here today, and hopefully you feel supported, that children love their mothers like no other. But not just by their children and her husband, but she will be recognized by the church. We have done that today, hopefully. You felt we have poured out into you. We recognize this special day as Mother's Day. But greater than all those, she will be recognized by the Creator. Again, Proverbs 31 says this, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. praise here and now? Yes. But one day when you walk through those great gates of heaven and you enter in, part of the things you're going to be blessed by is being that godly parent and to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." What a day that will be. Let me close with a poem I found some years ago. It says, "Your love I know, I've seen your tears. You have given me to my life. You walk through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I can have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest as you viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. And though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've helped me to give and to share and put my own needs last. You've helped me to see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother." I am so thankful for those godly women. If you truly want to honor them today, is honor the one that they trust, honor the Lord. And mothers, if you are truly honor the Lord, is simply live a life that honors Him. So here's the invitation. If you're here today and you know you're not doing what the Lord wants you to do, why not commit? Say, "Lord Jesus, you know my heart, you know my life and what it needs to be. Help me to be what you call me to be. Let me live for you." God honors those that seek Him. If you're here today, God's calling. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Think about your life. In the few minutes we have, take some time. And just as we dedicated those babies to the Lord, dedicate yourself. For some of you today, I mean, maybe for the first time that you recognize Jesus as Lord, that He made all this possible. And so why not start by saying, "Lord Jesus, save me." The Bible clearly says, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." Honor God this morning. And why not make that public as we begin to sing? Just walk forward and say, "Brother Paul, I've dedicated myself to Christ." Maybe you're here today, you've done that, and your life does not match the Word of God as it should be. And there's some things that are not quite right, and you understand that, and you want to dedicate yourself right where you stand again. Say, "Lord Jesus, help me. Help me to be faithful. Help me to do your will. Let me be that mother or father that I should be." God honors those that seek Him. Maybe it's church membership and you want to be a part of this church to raise up your family. We'll take you today. Whatever it is, before you leave this house, make sure your life is dedicated to the Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you for all these things. Thank you for your word that brings conviction and hope, that calls us to live a different life. And so, Lord, today I pray that for my life and all those under the sound of my voice, that we leave here differently today, knowing that we're dedicated to you. Help us be found faithful. Thank you, Lord, for being faithful to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand, please?